Lafondre looking to get close side of Font. Lafondre away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Elm Park Rolls post-match podcast, reviewing this week the game against Watford in the FA Cup. It might be the FA Cup, but we are still sponsored by our wonderful friends over at Blue Collar Street Food, supporting us all through the year, of course, as per usual. This week was obviously, it's different to most weeks. It was the FA Cup, and it was a bit downbeat, I think, leading up to it, because it was against Watford. You don't really want an FA Cup draw against Watford, let's be honest, in the first round. But to talk about this absolute belter of a game, I've got from all the way across the pond, I've got Dave Stevens. How are you doing?
Doing well. Not sure what day it is after getting up early to watch this one, but I won't complain because it went our way.
That must have been a really early start for you.
Yeah, 5:30 kickoff, which could be worse. Others have it worse, I'm sure. But yeah, as I say, I'll confess to a little nap afterwards, but before we did this, so I'm raring to go again.
There was me thinking that I had it tough waking up at 11 o'clock in the morning and wondering, do I actually go today? Do I go? Is it worth it? Yeah, I thought I had it bad, but yeah, 5:30 in the morning stumps that, I think. It was an interesting game because I think everyone knew Watford were going to change up their squad quite a bit. I think we talked about it in the preview. They had 15 injuries in total, which, you know, is not really an injury list that you want to be contending with when you've got a cup competition coming up. So we knew their lineup was going to be quite changed. But it was a good chance, obviously, for Reading to change their team, bring in some of the players that been on the fringe a bit. You know, it was a bit of a, I think we still made 9 changes all in all today, mm-hmm. which was kind of expected, but it was still a relatively strong squad, which I think is a good sign of where the Reading squad is. I mean, it's not the strongest squad, but yeah, Dave, what was your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it very much smacked of two teams that don't want a cup run for different reasons. Obviously, I think Watford still have designs on going back up, and they want to focus on the league for that reason. And the mentioned injury list that they have even puts ours to shame, which is takes some doing. And then for us, obviously, we just want to stay in this division. So no cards hidden, shall we say, from either manager that this really isn't their priority right now. And I think the apathy kind of extended into the fan base as well. I don't remember too many people being too excited about this all championship clash at this stage. So despite the fact that that was how we went into the game, as you say, with the 9 changes, it didn't look like we'd put out our under-23s. You know, there was some good players on there. We got the long talked about Long and Joao partnership up top and see how that worked out. And, you know, captaining the side is Hutchinson back from another little spell out. So, you know, plenty of experience in there as well.
Yeah, no, there was a good mix of experience and youth, I think, is what everyone likes to say in the cup and what everyone likes to see in the cup. But we did come through 2-0 winners in the end. We're going to touch on the game in a minute, but first we're going to just do a new segment, I think, to the EPR podcast. We're going to do a good, the bad, and an injured list. So just reviewing who we think was on the good list, who was on the bad list for today, and then just going over a few of the injuries from the game. So kind of, I mean, Dave, do you want to kick it off with maybe the good list?
Yeah, first one I put in there is a pretty obvious one for anyone that watched it. Femi Azeez came in and got a start, and you know, after being out for so long and some of the promise we saw last year, I thought he had a good game. He put himself about. He was involved in a lot of our attacking play, and it definitely lands on the good list for me.
He's very direct as well, Femi Azeez. One thing I remember from, I think it was his first start since it was either Preston or I think Bristol City maybe last year at home. One thing I always remember from him was just how direct he always is, you know, with his running. Yeah. You know, his first thought seemingly is always forward. He's not afraid to have a shot from outside the box or to try and test the keeper, which is kind of what you want to see in a young player. you know, and it was very much a continuation of that today. You know, he came on against West Brom last week and he was a bit not quite up to speed. I'd say his decision making wasn't the best. He seemed to be trying to cut in too much when he probably should have been trying to cross. I'd probably say that's an area that he still needs to work on a bit, maybe just his passing and, you know, decision making in that area, because he's got bags of pace. He's strong. He's good on the ball. So he's got a good foundation there to be a good player. But I think first things first, he needs to just stay fit for a season as well. You know, we can't be getting too ahead of ourselves. Kind of second on the good list, I'd probably say Abrifa. It goes without saying, because obviously he scored a goal, you know, I think his first goal for Reading as well, which was brilliant.
Yeah, first senior goal, yeah.
Looked like it meant the world to him. But I mean, he played very, very well as well at right back.
It was something where, you know, the modern world of watching football, the various group chats you're in, you know, his name was coming up. People weren't just talking about one or two moments. It was throughout the game. Certainly looks like a bit of a player, and great early balls into the box, which, you know, another thing we've maybe struggled with for a while, overplaying and not really just delivering the ball. He wasn't afraid to pop a ball into the box, and he did all the usual stuff you would want your right back to do as well, which is less exciting to talk about. But definitely a banner day for him. But I definitely think that's not a flash in the pan. I think we'll see more of him either as this cup run maybe continues, at least one more game, and if not in the league, maybe coming off the bench, that kind of a thing. One for the future. Looks very young.
I think the best thing for him that will come out today, he's put his name kind of in the frame now. You know, Reading fans, the manager, you know, the squad, they're going to be thinking about him, you know, as a potential backup as right back, because realistically, we've only really got, you know, well, Yeardham, who's been playing centre back a lot, even though he's, you know, naturally a right back, right wing back. Junior Hoylett, you know, mostly a winger, but has been playing right back. We've not really had a natural kind of wing back that's played there for the whole season, really, because the one player that has played there probably most has been Hoylett.
Yeah,
you'd say. So maybe he's, you know, laid claim maybe to a number two spot behind one of those two in that position. But it was certainly a good performance from Abrifa. And probably lastly, the last one I probably want to pick out, probably Scott Dan, for his contribution today. Shaky start at West Brom. But I mean, today, albeit against a very young Watford side, he showed his class and showed his quality. I mean, I think the best thing with Scott Dan, he just made everything look easy that he was doing.
Yeah. Obviously, you have to make that mention, like you did, of the opposition. Like, this was a very, very young, rather inexperienced Watford side by the looks of it. I don't know the ins and outs of their squad quite to the level that one of their fans would, but you take a glance at the squad numbers on the team sheet and you think, you know, this is probably slightly younger side. So you have to say yes, compared to last week when we saw the impact of an in-form senior championship side against him. I do think that it was the classic centre-back performance that you kind of want. It's a cliche, I know, but you didn't really notice him all that much. And that's what you want from your defence and your defensive midfield as well, is quietly goes about their job and you just never really remember too much because they've just dealt with it. And like you say, made it look easy.
It'll be interesting to seeing what happens with Dan within the team. If he stays in the team, if he becomes a hallmark in that defence, that then I guess gives licence maybe for Hutchinson to be played in midfield more, which again, I think probably honourable mentions from today's game. Hutchinson in the first half played well. Lucas Schell again played well. I think I saw some criticism of Lucas Schell. I thought that was harsh personally from the way he played today. He was running. He probably wasn't as sharp as he wanted to be on his shooting. He had a couple of shots, which you know, he didn't quite make what he probably would have wanted from them. But Shane Long as well, as an honourable mention, you know what you're going to get with Shane Long, you know, running all the time. And obviously got his goal today. Mm-hmm. But
90 minutes plus from Shane Long as well. Good for having had him out for so long with an illness that seemed to linger. 90+3 and still enough in the bank to run and score. It's good signs.
It must be satisfying to score that late on after you've played 90 minutes as well, if you're a striker, because you might think the game has passed you by, but then right at the end, you can just nick a goal like that. So yeah, it must have been a good moment for him. And Tom McIntyre as well in midfield, setting up the goal. Another one, you know, good game. There wasn't too many that had a bad game today, it has to be said. But probably if we're going to focus on maybe one who wasn't quite at his best, Naby Sarr today, it wasn't his best game for sure.
Yeah, he's been a little shaky the last few games. So it's definitely something going on there, whether it's a mental thing or maybe an undisclosed fitness thing that's affecting it. I don't know. It's probably decision making or something of that nature. But it stands out that we noticed him have a bit of a poor game in a game where Watford didn't create very much. So there really shouldn't have been too many opportunities to have a bit of a shaky game. Yeah, not panning out for him at all at the moment.
Not quite, no. And kind of after he seemed to be dropped following the Norwich game, you know, going into West Brom, he didn't have a good game at Norwich. He really didn't.
Yeah, he really didn't. And I think that it's a shame, because with the way his journey with us started, having to wait so long, even just to get a chance to come on because of all the stuff with the embargo and the EFL approval and everything else. All a player wants in that situation is the ability to come in and get some games under their belt. And now he's kind of getting that, and it's not really working out for him. So hopefully he turns it around. We know there's a player there when it goes off for him.
Absolutely. And hopefully he can pick up form. You know, we're not trying to lambast him, because at the end of the day, it's a, you know, we still won today. But when you look at the other two, and Mbengue and Dan they were good today, and kind of a lot of the Watford chances seem to come from misplaced passes from Sarr today.
Yeah.
You know, which you don't normally want to see from your centre back. So, but kind of flipping onto a bit of an injured list, there was obviously quite almost a whirlwind on social media before the game around Liam Moore's return. It turned out not to be a return, and well, a return of sorts, but probably to a place that he didn't want to be at, of course, on the injury list. He, from what Paul Ince said after the game, has done his hamstring, absolutely gutted for him, and he could be out for 6 to 8 weeks. It's just, I think I kind of mentioned it on the podcast, no matter what your thoughts are of Liam Moore, his time at Reading, at the end of the day, he's still a footballer. He's still a person. And to have nearly had his career ended in the summer with a knee injury, to come back to be the day before, you know, returning to first team football, and to then have a pretty serious hamstring injury again, I mean, it must be devastating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to put your love of the club or your loyalty to Reading aside for a moment and just think about, at a human level, you know, he's got to be so frustrated. And you can say, oh, it's just so he doesn't have to face the fans, or oh, he probably wasn't training properly, or
I'm sure there'll be some conspiracy theories.
Exactly. People are very angry with what went down with him, and that's fair enough. If everything we've seen and everything the club released and the statement from the owner was 100% accurate, which, you know, is anything 100% accurate these days with PR? Probably not. But regardless, something happened there. It didn't paint him a good light. He is on a very high wage. That's bad for us right now. So I get why people are not too forgiving with him, and that's absolutely fair. But yeah, on a human level, he must be so frustrated. I think the one thing I'm looking at now is, if he's out for up to 2 months, then he comes back in to start training again after 2 months and tries to get back up to speed again. Like, there's not much playing time left for Liam Moore at this club. And, you know, is it time for the club and him to sit down and have a conversation? Like, what is a mutually agreeable deal to just write this off? Because, you know, the season's going to run out before he's really in contention anyway now.
Well, I mean, he could be out until March, and when you get to March, you're only going to have about, you know, 10 more games left in the season, maybe, right. You know, 12, 13, if the fixture list is, you know, kind to you.
Yeah.
Like you say, time will be running out with him at the club. It's been a sad end, it has to be said.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't start to imagine kind of the frustration from his side. I think Paul Lynch said that, you know, I think he was looking forward to bringing his family back to the stadium. They were looking forward to seeing him playing again, which again, it just comes back to the human element of it. You know, at the end of the day, he's a person with a family, you know, and probably all he just wants to do is play football, no matter what you kind of think of him and what he's done in the past. But that was a big piece of injury news before the game. There was actually a moment during the game when I thought, as well, Shane Long might have been out for some time because he seemed to go down with a rather nasty looking arm injury. I didn't know whether or not he might have broken his arm or something because he seemed to stay down and then he couldn't really move his arm at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to look like a really nasty one, but he seemed to play on with a bit of a arm bandage. I don't really know what they call them.
One of those sleeve looking things. It looked kind of cool, actually. Reminded me of that. Remember in the 90s where there was that little rash of people playing in casts, like the wrist cast and everything. A nice little hark back to that in
little throwback
terms.
but he seemed to play on. I've not seen anything following the game either on an injury side with Long, so hopefully it was just a knock and maybe a bit of swelling that, you know, they were using it to compress the swelling or something. So but it's nice not to talk about too many injuries, I have to say, because that's most of the injuries, because we've actually got some players that came back. We did obviously have a game on today and we'd had 9 changes, as we mentioned earlier. Hutchinson was back from injury, back in captaining the side, and one of the 9 changes that came in for today. It was Mbengue, Bazanis, Saar, Abrifa, Hutchinson, Baba, Aziz, Long and Zhao all came in for the game today to start. And I mean, Dave, kind of coming into the game, there was a lot of talk before, how many changes do you want to make? As there always is with the Cup, you know, it's seemingly a conversation that is a carousel whenever a game like this comes about. But was it the right mix for you going in?
Yeah, I think so. I think the big thing for me is we saw against West Brom how tired our preferred starting 11 or variation of starting. I know he tends to change one or two each time, but the core group are clearly exhausted. So if he had not made a sizable number of changes, you'd be questioning what was going on, because it's a great opportunity today. I do think, as we touched on earlier, it was that mix of experience and youth. Like, it was great to see Abrifa come in. Can't remember a start for him. Definitely not this season, unless I'm blanking one, which is entirely possible. So to see the likes of him come in, Aziz given the start, was great, as he comes back, and he's still young, of course. But then we weren't looking at, like we said, an under-23 side. We've got some very strong players in there, and strong players that also need minutes themselves, like Joao and Long and Scott Dan coming back again, which I know, you know, we started to talk about some of these already previously, but that's kind of where I was looking at it. Bazanis obviously coming in, he knows he's going to be a second choice to Lumley, but you would expect that he'd get games in the Cup, and that's been honoured. So absolutely no qualms from me when I saw the starting lineup.
I think one thing that was really positive as well, I mean, once the game had started, how positively the team came out, you know. It's probably be the last time I mention it. You can talk about, you know, the weakness of the opposition or kind of the team they put out, but you've still got to actually play against them, you know, and Aziz was probably the brightest spark, I reckon, you know, from when we started the game. Whenever the ball got to him, he wanted to drive forwards. He wanted to move it forwards and actually do something. He had a pop shot. It was about 10, 15 minutes in, I think, from about 25 yards on the left-hand side. Forced a good save from the keeper, you know, and the Watford keeper looked pretty unassured through the game, I'd say, you know. So it's those sorts of moments when you know that about the opposition keeper, you want to actually try and have shots, which I mean, we don't normally have many shots from outside the box. So potentially, if Aziz comes back, he might be someone who can look to offer that. But kind of the first half, kind of the first 25-30 minutes, it was a very controlled performance by Reading. They pretty much controlled all the possession. There wasn't too many chances to talk about. There were a few near misses, you know, in that Lucas Shaw also had one when the keeper palmed it out to him, and he fired it probably 10 yards wide. He didn't get the connection.
It wasn't
that
particularly
he wanted.
Close, yeah.
It wasn't, no. So it's probably one he'll want to forget. But the first real kind of moment came when Aziz, he nearly got back on the score sheet in his first start.
Yeah, he did, you know, right up on butting up against halftime. We kind of started to increase the intensity towards the end of that first half, and a ball in from the right from Abrapa, nice ball in actually. It wasn't crossed to Aziz, but he, and this was very nice to see, got there. He threw himself in and made sure that he connected at the far post and put it into the goal. Flag went up straight away and flagged for offside, no goal. But to be fair to the officials, you see on the replay, yeah, he was offside. But there was a sign there that he's willing to go and kind of put things on the front foot, and a little bit of a payoff for that intensity leading up.
Yeah, and I think a mention has to go out for we're probably going to mention him quite a bit, but a brief for the cross, because it was a fantastic cross. I mean, he's put it right in that corridor of uncertainty. You know, he couldn't have done anything better there, a briefer. It was a fantastic ball in.
And an early cross into the box as well, which we've struggled with. So, yeah, very nice.
We struggle with, and we don't normally see actually all that much, you know, which it often frustrates me, because it, you know, well, maybe it's more because the players that we have on the pitch, because, you know, you're not going to be doing early crosses like that with Andy Carroll on the pitch potentially, you know. But if you've got someone like Aziz there who's willing to make that back post run, you know, it's a good weapon that you could potentially have. And it'll be interesting to see Aziz going forwards and kind of where he fits into the team, whether he's just an impact man or if he proved today he's got enough maybe to start and maybe to push, you know, potentially Tom Ince or, you know, someone around there. Or maybe if Ince wants to experiment with putting him up top next to Andy Carroll or someone, you know, that'd be an interesting dynamic to see. But again, it's just very much like a briefer. He's put his name right back in the frame of first team contention, be it the bench or pushing to start. So, but it was just a tad disappointing. He went half a yard too early on his run. It didn't take too much longer though to get the first goal, and it came from a briefer. And I cannot lie, watching it and watching the celebrations after, you could see how much it meant to a briefer, but it was just a wonderful moment. I don't care if he didn't mean it, because he did mean it. I'm not going to entertain any reasoning from people that says that he did not mean it. I've seen him do that 20 times over at Bearwood Park, even though I've never been there. I've seen him do it many times before, and I will not hear anyone say otherwise.
Yeah, well, you know, we all know Abrapa's got that in his locker. So
all the time.
Yeah, yeah. He just needed a start, and it was going to have it. Yeah, I mean, joking aside, it kind of reinforces that approach of, you know, if you stick the ball in a dangerous area, something might happen. Yet again, he went for an early cross to just put it into the mix, and it drifted over the keeper and nestled into the, or was it the top of the side netting almost, like on the
it was,
side?
No, it was off the post, wasn't it? It went in off the post, yeah. It was a bit, I don't want to dive too far into the FA Cup locker, but I was actually having an interesting conversation with my brother last night, and we spoke about the infamous Paul Konchesky goal in the, it's a bit different being in an FA Cup final to an FA Cup third round at the Medeski. But it just reminded me of that, and I thought it was
practicing
ironic.
For the final. It's no worries. Yeah, yeah.
He obviously had
glorious
had that in his mind.
Yeah, yeah, he must have watched that growing up, I imagine. I wonder how many years after that goal was scored, Abrapa was born. That'd be a depressing thing to look up. Let's not do that.
No,
but yeah, great technique. Gets the ball in, and yeah, floats into the goal, and he's happy as a lark. And I mean, you know, everyone, the initial celebrations from the players in the middle were delayed because they weren't expecting it. It kind of looked like a cross that had gone too far, but then they realize it's gone in, and then they all run over to celebrate with him. But yeah, what a way to get your first senior goal. Stuff of dreams.
Yeah. And then, like you say, the players on the pitch as well. It wasn't just a briefer and his family in the crowd that you could see. It meant so much too. I mean, everyone in the squad ran over and celebrated with him. And again, yes, you might say, oh, well, you expect that for when somebody so young scores their first goal. But it's just so nice to see, you know, and I think it goes a long way to actually seeing the dynamic in this team that, you know, that they've built, that Paul Ince has instilled, you know, the mix between experience and youth in the squad. But everyone just looks so happy for him.
Yeah, and I do think that it kind of points to something that's been lacking for a while that used to just be the norm, which is, you know, a young coming through right back who isn't going to be starting because of the options ahead of him, takes his chance in the club, and everyone's happy for him because they know him because he's been around the squad, starting to train with the first team. It's all very cliched football things that have been around forever. And you could probably go back and look at Shane Long when he came in, and you know, they were all happy for him when he first scored because he'd been around like Doyle and Kitson and the others. But the last 5-6 years, it feels like more of a disconnect, like that hasn't been happening. But that togetherness of this squad did come through in the celebrations. It was really nice to see.
Absolutely, yeah. That then was pretty much on the stroke of half time. That pretty much took us to half time, and I mean, most people I think were happy at that point, you know, because we'd controlled the game. Probably say we deserved to be up at half time. It's interesting, actually, you said about doing the early crosses with the keeper. I think there was, and putting it into a dangerous area. There was a point earlier in the half as well. I think it might have been Aziz put one in, or Bubba put one in and nearly crept in at the far post as well. The keeper was able to push it. It went past everybody, but the keeper was able to push it round. So, yeah, if you don't put a cross in there, you will never know. Don't buy a ticket. Yeah. You don't win the raffle, as they always say. But going in at half time, 1-0, we controlled the first half. There wasn't really too many issues. I don't even recall many shots from Watford in the first half, if any.
Didn't create much at all, no.
No. So, which, you know, I think one of the good things with McIntyre and Hutchinson in the midfield, they were able to control that. At West Brom, we had no control in that midfield. But yes, today it was completely different, you know, and it was good to see. And then coming into the second half, we made one change. Hutchinson came off at half time. Good 45 minutes in the bank for him. Hutchinson Bingo is well and truly back as well, because he did get booked after 13 minutes, which it's just a nice sight, isn't it? It's like going to watch the football, seeing Hutchinson getting yellow carded.
You get your Bovril, you get your pie, you watch Hutchinson get booked. It's you know, proper football stuff. Yeah.
But he came off at half time, was replaced by Loom. And also for Watford, it was the return of Leandro Bacuna to the SEL, a return that was very much cut short. Obviously didn't have a good time at the Medeski as it was when he was here. Didn't have a good time on his return. He ended up going off after about 10 minutes, injured. So, which just adds to Watford's growing injury list at this point. You know, Bilic after the game was apparently gutted for him, but yeah, something's possibly not quite right at Watford in that department at the moment.
Yeah, they've not long since they brought him in to help with their injury crisis. Now he's injured, but I guarantee that man wakes up in a cold sweat at night thinking about the Medeski or SCL Stadium, depending on your preferred naming. Because not a good time when he was with us, and definitely not a good time today. I think about 7 or 8 minutes he lasted.
I didn't even realise that he'd gone off either, to be fair, because during his injury, it was quite amusing. And Mbengue was, when the ball went out, it went out for a throw-in. And then he was tended to, and Bengue was almost doing some party tricks or some circus tricks with the ball down at the bottom. It was quite amusing. He was certainly having good fun.
Yeah.
The linesman wasn't really all for it for some reason. He was being a bit of a killjoy naysayer, it has to be said. but I mean, and Bengue was living his best life. He was doing kicky uppies, flipping it onto his neck, flipping it. Oh, it was, I mean, that guy, I think, just loves to have fun. He seems like such a fun person in Bengue.
Yeah. Yeah. I like him. Personality wise, he's brought a lot to the squad, and he was certainly up for it today. Some of the challenges he was flying into, he has no shortage of passion.
No. And there was actually one which it was towards the end of the game that Bengue flew in on, which I have to say, I wasn't too sure on why or kind of why he decided to do it, because he could have really injured himself. He comes in absolutely barreling in. It was about 85 minutes gone, but he comes in barreling into the midfield and just, I'm not even sure if he puts the tackle. He just bulldozes into the Watford player. I mean, he gets a yellow card for it. It's the easiest yellow card you'll see all day, but yeah, a little too enthusiastic maybe.
The proverbial red rag to a bull, the ball, he wanted it. And so in he went, and the ball was unfortunately long gone by the time he arrived. But yeah, oh well, if he's doing that 85 minutes in a game like that, committed to the cause, I'll take it. He didn't hurt anyone, so that's fine.
No, and I think most importantly, he didn't injure himself, because it was one yeah. of those which I looked at, I thought you could have so easily injured yourself there.
Very
you know,
true.
So but thankfully he wasn't injured. The Watford player wasn't injured. All we know is Mbengue likes to do kicky uppies, will continue running, and yeah, has almost got an engine that doesn't want to stop at any point. You know, he's still running right until the last minute, which you want to see, and fingers crossed we'll see it a lot more with him, hopefully signing a new contract in the coming weeks. So apart from that, it has to be said, the second half, it was a very quiet second half. Nothing much really happened. Reading still, for the most part, controlled the game until about potentially 80, 85 minutes, when Watford had a couple of attacks going forwards. Didn't really amount to much. There was one where Bazanis, I think, palmed it into the middle, which Mbengue cleared quite easily. But then it led to a rather shaky moment right in, I think it was right on the 90th minute mark, maybe just after, with Bazanis, when a ball floated towards his goal line.
Yeah, Watford tried to put it in the mix and see what happens for the first time. And
it nearly worked.
It nearly worked, yeah. So as the ball's coming down, he's going to catch it. And then he gets a bit distracted by the Watford attacking player, who I can't remember who it was, I'm sorry, who was jumping for it with him. Bazanis was first to the ball, so it was his, but he was kind of distracted. So he, instead of catching it cleanly, he kind of palmed it forwards, so like half dropped it. And then of course the attacker then challenged for the ball, and they got into a bit of a tussle, and the ball ended up going out behind, and it could have been a corner, because I think it came off of Bazanis last. But the referee had decided, probably correctly, that there was a little bit too much leaning on Bazanis at the time. So I gave it as a free kick, which, you know, with the modern rules with protecting the goalkeepers, not that surprising. But maybe a few heart in mouth moments for Bazanis, who otherwise had quite a quiet day. Maybe he was thinking about his clean sheet and got in his head a little bit.
I was going to say, you mentioned it before the game about the clean sheet, because he had a pretty routine day. There wasn't really too much to do. He cleaned up actually a couple of potential bad back passes early in the game as well, from what one that I remember from Saar, that Saar under hit, and he did well and just ended up putting out for a throw in the end, which was fine. He dealt with the danger that he needed to. It was a routine game. At the end of the day, Bazanis is a second string goalkeeper. You know, he's not going to give, you know, the exact same levels that, you know, a Lumley might give. But coming in on a cup game and, you know, getting a clean sheet, you can't really have too much or too many complaints at that.
Yeah, he could be happy with what happened today. You know, if you have those slightly flappy moments and you come out of it without conceding, That's overall the win. And yeah, didn't have a ton to do, but he was called upon a few times and he did well. He was quick off his line. He didn't freeze, which was good. And yeah, 90 minutes and a clean sheet. Good Saturday for him. Yeah.
One thing that I thought was interesting with him, one last point on him, was that he seems to play a lot as a sweeper keeper. In the first half, you might not have seen it on the television, but he was almost, at times, he almost pushed up to where the back line was to add in like an extra player into that back line, which I'd not really seen from Bazanis. I didn't really see him as that much of a sweeper keeper, but maybe again, it was just the nature of the game, the tactics that we decided to play. But yeah, it was a good performance all in all, or pretty standard performance from Bazanis, I think most would say. But just as I was trying to write out, a tweet around that moment, we had an absolutely fantastic ball from Tom McIntyre to his childhood hero, who then put it away and settled the tie in the 93rd minute. I mean, Dave, there's two ways you can probably look at this. For Tom McIntyre assisting his childhood hero like yep. he did, that must be one hell of a feeling for Tom McIntyre. I hope it's gone down as an assist for him as well. I'm sure it would have. Yep. But that was one part. But then Shane Long, I mean, I've got a soft spot for Shane Long. I think everyone in Reading has a soft spot for Shane Long as well. But he was one of the only reasons why I thought I'd go today to try and see him, to try and watch him and see him play. But yeah, kind of just finishing off a pretty good day for Reading SC and a good cup tie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen these balls forward from McIntyre a few times this season. He's definitely got the ability to do it, and he places it in a nice spot for the striker. But yeah, I mean, we all remember the stories of I can't remember who was it. Tom Ince, yeah, Tom Ince ratted him out, didn't he? That when Shane Long came back, T Mac was in the dressing room, like too nervous to speak to him, like he had his poster on his wall, that kind of a thing. So
that I'm not going to begrudge him of, because if I was Tom McIntyre, I'd be the exact same. I'd be starstruck. I wouldn't know what to say to him. I'd be like, I remember you in 05-06.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So I
don't
quite
think
young.
I could. Yeah. I mean, we met some of the 05-06 last year at the before the Legends game, and I was basically a 5-year-old around them. So yeah, fair play to T-Mac on that one. But to then say that you've now notched an assist for your hero, he must be having a great night tonight. And yeah, it was a classic Shane Long goal. Good running, good power, got away from the covering defender, and just waited for his moment, slotted it past the keeper, and off he went to celebrate. So yeah, great to see.
And I think one of the best things about it was actually, and it was a tweet that I saw on Twitter just after, it was vintage Shane Long, wasn't it? Yeah. You know, running in the back, or running in behind like he did. Perfect ball over the top, you know. Full credit to T-Mac for the ball, but you know, Shane Long running in behind and wounded with only one arm, seemingly puts it away fantastically. You know,
one arm out for ages this season with an illness that seemed to sap his energy and everything else, plays 90 minutes and then in the third minute of injury time makes that run and finishes. Ah, legendary. Lovely. Lovely stuff.
You can't ask for much more. For much more. But that pretty much, that was almost the last kick of the game for Reading. Wound up 2-0 winners. And just like that, we progress into the fourth round of the FA Cup for the first time since 2020. Shane Long does become, I think, our all-time highest FA Cup goal scorer this century with that one goal. But that is our first FA Cup win since 2020, when I think we got to the fifth round, wasn't it, against Sheffield United?
Sounds about right. I mean, the last 3 years have all kind of merged together, but I don't remember a lot of joy in the FA Cup in that time. Yeah.
No, the only other one I really remember was Luton away over COVID, when we had an unbelievably injury-stricken squad, I think, at that point, and we put out pretty much what Watford did today. Yeah. I seem to recall, I think the average age was like 21 or something that day. But yeah, it's not been a happy hunting ground, but hopefully it will be this season. I mean, looking ahead to the next game in the Cup, Dave, again, to bring out the cliches, do you want do you want a big team? Do you want a big away day? Who do you want in the next round? And would you want it home or away?
I tell you what, an away day to someone big is probably best. And I'll tell you my reasoning. It's not the cliche. If we draw the likes of a Stevenage or a I don't know, some tiny little club, and we lose to them.
I love how Stevenage is just so ingrained in Reading FC's minds from 2018.
Stevenage is in my head the same way that the Medeski Stadium is in Leandro Bacuna's head. I just don't want to play him again, you know.
We've got the t-shirt.
It's been rubbish. So if we go and we play like a team that all the pundits expect us to beat and we lose, I reckon there could be a knock-on effect. I don't need that bad juju, so no thank you. If it's an all championship tie or a closely matched team, there's the possibility. Are they doing replays? I've forgotten whether this competition's scrapped.
I think they do replays, yeah.
Yeah, they're still in, right? So if we play like today, the nightmare today is that we don't get a result, it's 0-0, and we have to play another game. Like, we don't want that. So I'm just thinking like a big away day, somewhere we haven't been for a while, or, you know, some big team, something exciting. Nice little away day, probably lose. Or if we win, it's a big boost around the place. That's what I'm looking for. So, yeah, give us something exciting, please.
Well, I think Paul Ince wanted Manchester United away in the Cup. I'm not going to lie, we've had Manchester United twice since 2017.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure another trip up the M6 to Manchester would be top of my list. Maybe a trip to Tottenham or somewhere. A London Premier League away day, I think, would be a nice one that isn't
cross off the new stadium. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
absolutely. Because and I either that or just a League Two side that we've not played before. Because I mean, they're fun. What I don't want is another Watford. Because in all honesty, nobody wants Watford. I could barely get myself out of bed for the game today. So I dread to think what would happen in the next round. But yeah, fingers crossed we can get an exciting draw, whether it's a big side, whether it's a League Two side, League One side. Just don't let it be. Whoever's pulling out the balls, please just don't make it a Championship side. Yeah. Please.
Just something for the fans to get excited about. Doesn't have to be like some huge team or anything. Liverpool away. Doesn't have to be that, but like, you know, something that people are like, oh yeah, I'll go to that. That'll be fun. And that's what we're looking for.
Something we can get excited about. That pretty much wraps it up for today's post-match podcast. I mean, Reading are next in action next week against QPR at home. The long-awaited return of the beanback game. I think QPR have sold out their allocation as well, so no doubt there'll be tears flying all around the White City for more tickets, which they won't get, and a beanback, which probably their club won't want to put on. But we will be back, obviously, previewing that game. It should be Jacob back for that game. I've stuck in my time now on the graveyard shift. You will be back in the capable and lovely hands of Jacob for the preview. We will, of course, be back for the post-match podcast as well following that. And obviously, if you have enjoyed our podcast, give us a 5-star rating. I know Dave gives us 5-star ratings all the time, you know, and that's not just because we love it.
Making up fake accounts, just rating it 5. Yeah,
we love 5-star reviews. So if you have enjoyed it, give us a rating. Follow us on all of our socials, obviously, and we will catch you for the preview of the QPR game. Thanks for listening, everyone.